Welcome to episode 191 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. Women with fibroids are much more likely to miscarry during early pregnancy than women without them. And if you've had multiple or very large fibroids, your chances go up even more. Today's guest experienced a miscarriage due to fibroids. With this history and due to her age of 42, she went on to seek a fertility specialist. Shashan Dublin was recommended to complete IVF, and during her first try, she became pregnant with twins, a boy and a girl. She then experienced excessive bleeding and was rushed to the emergency room, where they determined she was in labor and began dilation. She lost her twins at 23 weeks gestation and was devastated. In this episode, Shashan takes us back on her journey to motherhood, how she is moving forward with her journey to motherhood and turning her pain into purpose by starting an organization around donor eggs and options to grow families. Here is Shashan Dublin.
Well, welcome, Shashan, to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful to be a part of this. The Sisters in Loss group has definitely helped me on my loss journey. I lost my twins, Ryan and Omari, 2 years ago through a late-term miscarriage at 23 weeks. And, you know, it's a journey. It's been a journey just getting here to where I am now. So
take us back on that journey and share with us just your journey to motherhood and your loss story.
Okay. Well, a little bit about that is my husband and I started an IVF journey in 2018 after we experienced an ectopic pregnancy loss. And that was back in 2015. So, you know, I consulted with my reproductive endocrinologist and, you know, because of age factor and just previous history, he suggested we go the route of IVF. So we started the first try. We were successful. We were successful with twins. We inserted two embryos and everything was going great. You know, if you would have told me that I would have lost my twins at 23 weeks, I wouldn't have believed you, because just 2 weeks prior, we were at our OBGYN and our screenings were wonderful. The day it happened, it was actually 2 days after Thanksgiving. I was experiencing a little spotting and leaking. I called my GYN and she told me to go to the nearest hospital and to get checked out. My husband and I proceeded to go. And, you know, I thought that perhaps, you know, something was going on, but to actually lose them never crossed my mind throughout the whole ordeal. You know, and I spent 4 days in the hospital. And, you know, that was challenging in itself because it was just a roller coaster of emotions, you know, hearing the heartbeat, feeling the move, and just not knowing what the next situation was going to be. So what wound up happening is we found out that my water actually broke in one of my amniotic sacs, and I started dilating. You know, I dilated actually too much for them to stitch me up or even give me a cerclage at that time. So the only option was to, you know, let my body naturally do what it was supposed to do, which was abort the pregnancy. And that was like, that right there in itself was just, I just couldn't believe it, you know, that those were my option. And my husband and I basically discussed that, you know, what else can we do? You know, at 23 weeks, the hospitals don't consider your fetus is viable. So it was like you're meeting them and you're saying goodbye, you know? And that was tough to have to actually go through a delivery and, you know, your body naturally doing what it's doing and to, you know, not be able to hold a live baby. It was definitely traumatic for both of us. Traumatic. It was a bittersweet situation. Only because we had faced losses before. And we hadn't even gotten to that part. We've never gotten to the part where we were able to even hear a heartbeat. So to actually see our children, you know, we were definitely grateful for that. And I really believe that is the part that has held me up this time, all of this time, because I actually got to see them, hold them, and, you know, just see the both of us in them. That right there was, I'm definitely grateful for that in itself. So after the pregnancy loss, we had to make funeral arrangements. That was another process because, you know, you have to grasp the fact that you're not bringing your babies home, but then you have to prepare for a funeral, which is just another emotion in itself. And again, you know, your body is still experiencing the things that it would normally do in those situations. So that in itself was a lot, you know, at the time. But you just get through it, you know. Your page, Sisters in Loss, was a great help as well. You know, I got to hear different perspectives of people losing their children, you know, people losing children that they had time with, you know, people not being able to even get pregnant or to even get to the point where we were, you know. So in that sense, I became grateful for my own personal journey. You know, I started the Angel Agency, which is a matching agency here in New York. And the reason why I started the Angel Agency is because my situation at this point is kind of age factor. You know, I'm 42 years old, and your reproductive health actually declined, you know, after 35. So we were looking for alternatives as far as gestational carriers, surrogates, or anything in that zone. They actually just passed a law in New York for that permits and legalizes gestational carriers. So, and that law goes in effect February 15th, 2021. You know, we're kind of leaning towards that avenue for, you know, the next venture if it's permitted. But it's a journey. It's definitely a journey. I'm grateful for it in a way because I know that my story is going to impact someone else just as others have impacted me and have helped me along the way and you know, my loss. So I started that Angel Agency just to be a voice. In my community here, because when I do go to the IVF centers, there are some sisters of color that are present, but I know that there are far and few in between. And it's very difficult when you're going through the IVF journey in itself, because you don't want to indulge too much with your friends and family because they really don't understand the journey. I created that so I can be, you know, a listening ear and also assist in that process because I've gone through it myself. The injections, the screenings, being at the doctor early in the morning every day, the mood swings, the hot flashes from the hormonal treatment. It's just a lot for a person to deal with. And most of the time when a woman is dealing with IVF, just from my experience, they like to go through it by themselves because friends and family, like I said, if they don't understand and have never gone through the journey, they don't know about the disappointments that go along with it, you know, and there are a lot. For our twins, the first time we did an egg retrieval and that's how we got the twins. But we have 10 embryos that are frozen where we can go back and try it again. I have, and they haven't been successful. That's an emotional journey in itself to go through a whole host of treatment and deal with the needles and just the emotions behind it and not have success. So it's emotional. It's emotional and you can be lonely. So being a voice or having someone to relate to is very important when you are either suffering a loss or even just going through the IVF part of creating life. And judgment, you know, there's judgment. Some people don't think that, you know, IVF is the way to go. They feel like it's unnatural. So you have to go through judgment from some of your peers as well. And that's not easy. So, yeah, it's a difficult journey, even with your spouse.
Yeah. Top, you have shared with us so much. And thank you for being so open and transparent about just your journey thus far. I would love for you to talk about just how your faith plays a role into how you're going through this journey, and then talk about, as you were about to get into, just your connection with your spouse and your relationships with your family, because I think that it still is impacted as you continue to go, you know, explore gestational carriers and surrogacy and just continue through that process.
As far as my faith is concerned, I definitely believe in God. I know that there's a higher power that looks out over me and my family. And I know when females and women experience loss, they sometimes ask God why, or, you know, lose faith. Me, on the other hand, I try to stay positive and take that mustard seed of faith and positivity and build on that. As I said before, just being able to see and hold and experience my children was a blessing to me because I hadn't had that experience ever. And that's the thing that keeps me going every day, that, you know, even though I wasn't able to take them home, I've experienced them. You know, they're with me. They were here, you know, whether they're here for an hour or 20 years, you know, no one can ever dispute the fact that they were here. And I'm very thankful for that, because there are some women that are on a pregnancy journey and just haven't even experienced being pregnant. So I'm very thankful for God even granting me an opportunity to hold and see an image of my husband and I. And as far as my husband is concerned, he's been my rock, you know. I can't ask for a better partner as far as dealing with the loss. We both have our moment still, but we are truly there to lift each other up. There are some times where, you know, I might be weak and he'll notice and, you know, he'll ask if I'm okay. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I had asked him to send me a video, the audio of their heartbeat, because I just found out that Build-A-Bear will give, well, like, they'll download audio in a teddy bear. So I wanted to download their heartbeats in a teddy bear. And at first he couldn't figure out how to send it to me because the audio was too long. And one day I went out to do something, and on my way home, the audio just popped up. And everything just paused for that one moment. I was like, wow. And that day, as soon as I got home, like I cried all night. I cried all night. And my husband was with me. He held me and cried with me all night long. And that keeps me going, you know, just knowing that I have a partner no matter what, you know. And that's our experience. You know, that right there just strengthens our bond together. The experience of our children just definitely strengthens our bond together. And I'm just so grateful for him and the man that he is for me.
I love that. I love that what you're doing in New York around your AGIL agency, and really bring a woman together who are going through the IVF journey, who may be, you know, over 40 and maybe taking some alternative paths to motherhood. So I would love for you to explain, you know, more what you're doing, what you hope to do with the organization. Yeah, share with us more about it. I love it.
So with all of this, as like I said, a part of my therapy is like joining these groups and just hearing other women's stories and testimonies. And one day I was listening to a podcast from this attorney. Her name is Amy Dema. And she's located in Long Island, New York, where I'm located. And she was talking about advocating for the bill for gestational carriers and protection for parents that are looking for alternative methods to have children. She, in fact, has two IVF twins herself. So in listening to her doing a podcast or an interview herself, that's how I got the knowledge of the Child Parent Protection Act. That is an act that was enforced April of 2020 and will go into law February 15th, 2021. And basically, that protects you from when you get with a matching agency, which the Angel Agency is, when you sign the gestational carrier agreement, that protects you as that child's parent from that agreement to you having a live birth with your child. And I'm a woman of over 40. So sometimes, you know, having a child experience differs. Some women need egg donors. Some women just want to experience having a child on their own, and you know, they need that assistance as far as that. So the Angel Agency matches people. They match gestational carriers. As you know, we're all one people. So if you are a homosexual couple and you want to have a child, the Angel Agency will assist in that as well, because there are different type of family structures. So we help everyone that wants to attain that dream, hopefully, of being a parent one day with the matching process.
I absolutely love that. And I think it's so needed out there, because what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, a lot of Black women don't donate their eggs. So there aren't a lot of Black egg donors out there. Couples are really trying to conceive and they may not be able to, you know, get the eggs from, you know, from the birther, and they need a donor so that they can actually have, go through the gestational surrogacy, your gestational carrier process. So I love what you're doing with that, because I think it's going to be so key for people who want to navigate a different path. Because I think that people think that, you know, it stops at just traditional, you know, IVF, but, you know, you can go beyond that if you have frozen embryos, or you have the ability to go make embryos, whether it's through egg donation or not. So I'm happy. Oh, it's so, so needed in our community to have someone to help navigate that. It's so needed.
I feel like it is, especially because I feel like infertility is such a taboo topic in our community. You know, a lot of women feel ashamed. You know, you should never be ashamed of what your body can or cannot do. You are your divine for your reason, and you have to live in whatever your purpose is. And just because you physically can't do it, there are other means of having children, you know, adoption. There are a million children that need home, foster care, you know, just to create a loving environment for a child without feeling the need to have to give birth. I'm open myself to the adoption or foster care process, because I feel like our household has a lot of love, and, you know, we have a lot to share as well. As far as the egg donation, a lot of us are not really involved with that. You know, I didn't really learn so much about infertility until I started experiencing it and gained the knowledge myself from doing my own research. Like I said, it's a very taboo topic in our community. So, you know, information, unless you are, you know, searching for it, is just not readily available. It's not a situation or a conversation at the dinner table, usually. So a lot of the research that I've done, just with my process, I've done on my own, you know, and I like to let young ladies know egg quality is a thing. You know, I really like to advocate for egg freezing, you know, because when you get a certain age and, you know, you're ready to have a child, egg quality does decrease, and it definitely is a factor. So I really advocate. I was speaking to one of my girlfriends last night at dinner, and, you know, she's in her 30s and she's single. And I suggested to her, like, listen, you know, you don't want to go through the things that countless women go through. Freeze your eggs. You know, you're not ready to get married right now. That's not to say that, you know, or have children. That's not to say that you won't be ready in 6 years, but your egg quality does decrease. So, you know, as far as advocating for us checking out our AMH and, you know, our FSH levels, you know, we're not usually doing those things. We're not usually, you know, asking our GYN, our egg reserve. You know, we don't usually get into that if we're not looking to have a child. We don't even, some women really don't feel like they need to, because they feel like if they just do the do, you know, the baby will come. And that's not the case. That is just not the case at all for all women that are looking to conceive. And I definitely learned that the hard way, because I thought it was, you know, well, we'll do the thing and, you know, we'll have a baby. And yeah, my experience definitely has taught me otherwise.
You brought up a great point about just egg freezing and the, you know, I think for most Black women or just Black couples in general, you know, when it comes to any type of fertility treatments, cost is always, you know, the biggest factor on doing that. But one thing that I do love about a lot of organizations who are now having grants for IVF and stuff, that they do have grants out there just for egg freezing. So for anyone who's listening who is under 35, you may be close to 40 that you should freeze your eggs. And it's something that I, you know, wish that I would have done, you know, going through my own journey. I wish I would have done that in my 20s, to be honest with you. I didn't know how, you know, my motherhood journey would have been. You know, right. I would be infertile. And, you know, I tried to go through that process. You know, I had a hysterectomy with my son. Right. So I don't have a uterus. I can't physically carry a baby. I do have fallopian tubes and ovaries, but the doctors can't get to them because of all my scar tissue from my emergency C-section hysterectomy. Right. I would have to go through like a major abdominal surgery just to get my eggs. And fortunately, I'm not going to do that. But if I would have frozen my eggs way back when, I wouldn't have had this issue. I easily could have made an embryo. We easily could have a gestational carrier carry another child for us. So I do recommend freezing your eggs. And I'm so happy that you brought that up, because I think when we get into our later terms when it comes to conceiving and reproductive health, that we look back on it and say, man, you know, there's some things we would have done differently. And that's one thing. If it's not nothing else, that is one thing I wish I would have done.
Me too. I mean,
that is one thing I would have wished I'd done back then, and just not even thought about it. Just paid the, you know, however much money it costs, and then try to get grants or whatever to pay for it, and just had it done. So I always recommend it to a lot of my younger cousins who are, you know, coming out of college now. I'm like, you got that job. If they cover egg freezing on your insurance, and go get your eggs frozen. Because even if you're married, I tell my cousins that too. I was like, even if y'all are married, you're just getting married, go get your eggs frozen, because you just never know.
You never know. I mean, the young ladies, when I advocate for egg freezing with them, I tell them all the time, and they look at me like, why? I'm like, listen, you don't want to make the same mistake I made, and, you know, thinking that everything is all well. And listen, I have the parts, he has the parts, and it works. That's not how it works. So I definitely advocate for that. I tell young ladies all the time, like, freeze your eggs, because you never know. You know, you don't want to get married and you're focused in your career. Think about that, you know, because, you know, as women, we are, well, Black women these days, they are really career driven, and they're focused. You know, marriage is on the back burner. It's not like it used to be in the old days. So their career is first and then first, and then they think about family later. But, you know, if you freeze those eggs, that's just your insurance, you know. And I explained to them, if you froze your eggs at 24, your embryos and your eggs are 24 years old. They don't age. You know, they stay the same age. They have the same health. So you want to think about that and consider it, you know, for later on in life. And if you get married and have them naturally, you can donate them or discard them. But, you know, I advocate for donating, of course. But you can donate them or discard them. Some people get hung up on the fact that, okay, well, if I donate them, then I have a baby walking around here that, you know, I don't know. You can't think about it like that. You know, biologically, yes, but you can't really think about that. You have to think about it in the sense of I'm helping someone else, you know, attain their dream of being a parent one day. But that takes a lot too. So
it takes a lot. It's a mindset shift. And I think that at least getting people to the point of freezing their eggs is where I'm at too. So I'm a huge advocate for that as well. So I'm so happy that you brought that up. and really talked about just what your agency's doing and things. So I would love for you to share any tools, resources, book. I know you mentioned some other podcasts that you have really leaned on as you navigated this journey.
Well, I've definitely leaned on your podcast. Just hearing all of the stories. I know this month is Pregnancy Loss Awareness Month, and the photos that you were sharing this week, with the children that were lost, that right there, you know, I said to myself, well, you know, am I ready to share my babies? Because we took photos, we have photos of them. But as far as sharing them with the world, I don't know. I feel like that's just that they're just mine to keep. And our experience with them is just ours. So that right there was just encouragement to maybe reconsider sharing, because, you know, along with the Angel Agency, like I said, I'm trying to be a voice for women of color, and just an inspiration to let them know that, you know, they'll be all right. And you know, there's something at the end of the tunnel. You know, they have a purpose. And I felt like possibly sharing them with you on the podcast to, you know, kind of break out of whatever I had inside me, not to to have that feeling of not wanting to share them. But seeing all the photos, I'm not gonna lie, at first I was just really emotional about it, you know, because I know in that moment, when you're in that room and you are with your child or children, that's your moment. That's your moment. And to share it is just, you're just opening yourself up. And I feel like in order for me to really be transparent, I haven't spoken to my husband about it. I don't know how he feels, but I would have to. And, as far as literature or groups, that have helped me, when we left the hospital, I was given a book from the chaplain. It was titled When Hello Means Goodbye. And that, you know, I read it ever so often, but that definitely helped me in the weeks after the loss. And I wasn't really open to discussion or just to even talk about it to anybody else outside of my immediate circle. That book helped me open up. We also attended group therapy. That was like right away, because I knew that we both needed to have some type of therapy, you know, because like I said, we had so many high hopes of coming home with our babies, planning baby showers, you know, just the week before we did the registry. So just to have everything taken away, we definitely needed to have some type of resource to get our feelings out, or just to hear anyone else's story. So we take group therapy, and there were a lot of couples there that suffered loss as well. Some suffered infant loss, miscarriage. Some actually suffered adolescent child loss. It was just touching and definitely a help to both of us to know that we weren't alone, you know, because as far as I know, none of the couples that we are, that we hang out with or we're associated with, except for a few, most have children and they don't discuss child loss with us if they've even experienced it. So to have an out for us to express ourselves with different couples and, you know, just speak about our loss and or listen or just cry or just nod and know that, you know, we both know the feeling that you're going through was definitely a help to us, you know. And then the clinic that we go to for IVF, they're definitely a help. RMA of Long Island, IVF, and the doctors there, my doctor, Dr. Pena, my nurse Jessica. They are just like gems to us. I know it's a business to them, but to me, they're very personable. They'll reach out to me, make sure that we're good, and very helpful. And I feel that support system is definitely necessary when you are a positive support system is definitely necessary when you are experience a loss or have experienced a loss. And those experiences and those people and listening and looking at your podcast definitely helped me go through my journey. Where I'm able 2 years later to, you know, be willing to get back on the horse or just be a voice and an inspiration for someone else. I know that some women, you know, they are still dealing with it and in a deep depression and can't get past it. I'm not saying that I've gotten past it, but I've learned to appreciate my loss in a different way. Whereas, like I said, just seeing them and having the opportunity to touch, feel, and experience them helps me every day.
So what encouraging words would you leave with our listeners on that note of who are still on this journey? You know, 2020 has been a year for all of us. You know, definitely. We are dealing in times of uncertainty, and a lot of people don't know, you know, if they can get back in the saddle, go back through the whole IVF process as clinics have started to open back up. Right. So what encouraging words can you leave our listeners as they are going through life's journey during this year of uncertainty?
Well, I mean, everyone has suffered this year throughout this pandemic. And if you are on an IVF journey or, you know, you are trying to build your family, I would suggest, one, getting counseling or joining a group. Because throughout the pandemic, I was not able to attend the therapy session. So a lot of my counsel came from groups. So join a support group. There's millions of support groups, as well as yours on Facebook, that you can join. Where you can kind of find someone who's relatable and DM them, start the conversation, you know, be open to express yourself, because expressing yourself throughout this journey is very important. A lot of people, like I said, even myself, honestly, going through the needles and just the whole roller coaster ride, sometimes you feel like you're alone and you can't discuss it because nobody will understand. If you join a group where other women are going through the same struggle you are, you know, befriend someone, but don't keep it inside and don't keep it to yourself. Sometimes it's difficult to speak to your partner. Some women are having babies or trying this on their own and they don't have a partner. A group, a support group is always necessary in my eyes to find a relatable source and just stick with that. And not giving up. If you are serious about your journey, know that your time might not be today. It might be 2 years from now, but you have to be willing to put in that work and don't give up on yourself. Be patient with the process and be patient with yourself.
Thank you so much, Shoshan, for sharing your story with us. Where can we connect with you after this episode?
Find me on Instagram at the Angel Agency LLC. Or Facebook, we have a group called the Gestational Carriers as well. And Facebook has the Angel Agency as well. Angel Agency LLC at Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's been such a blessing and such a pleasure to be able to hear more about what you're doing and how you really have turned your pain into power. So thank you again.
Thank you, Erica, for having me. And you are an inspiration to all of us. Thank you so much for doing all the things that you do. You know, you are definitely a warrior.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. There are so many ways to connect with the Sisters in Loss community. Join our monthly support group, our Sisters in Loss Healing Collective at sistersinlosshealing.com. Join our free Facebook group at sistersinloss.com/community or text sisters to 797979 to download your free Journal to Healing ebook. That is sisters to 797979 to download your free Journal to Healing ebook. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sisters in Loss and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Yeah, girl, we on YouTube at Sisters in Loss TV. We love you for listening. Keep the faith. Until next time, this is Erica, and I'll talk to you soon.